previously on Heroes.
Kensei Takezo? You're supposed to be a hero!
Oh. I don't think she wants to be my princess.
Dr. Suresh, can we count you in?
Finally took the bait.
They caught up with me in Kyra.
I'm in.
And you and I will bring this whole company down. We're all in grave danger. Our past has caught up with us.
I'm West.
Claire.
Are you one of them? Or one of the others?
I figured that you'd rather have a real one.
We have to talk about the nightmares.
There's nothing you can do.
Molly, I want to help you.
Magia says if we get caught, people could die. Alejandro replies, they'll die if we don't run.
What the hell are you doing here? Who are you? What's your name?
I don't know.
A bucket of water is thrown over Peter to wake him. He sits in a chair, topless and with his hands tied behind his back. A shaven-headed man punches him.
He's awake.
Where am I?
He's punched again.
Home.
You took something that's ours, Boyle. Just tell us where you stashed the iPods. We'll cut your binds. You'll be on your way. A square deal as you're likely to find.
I didn't take anything.
Right. With the thousands of shipping containers coming through Cork Harbor every day, you just happen to be having tea in the one we're sent to rob.
I don't know how I got in there.
You might want to consider remembering, Boyle. You're in a bad spot.
The man, Ricky, gives one of his companions a nod, and Peter's struck again. Chapter 2, Lizards. Sandra's staring into a pan of boiling water.
Dang it all, my wedding ring fell in with the eggs.
Claire's there, and she reaches her hand into the bubbling water to retrieve the ring. When she removes it, the skin's bright red, but it heals almost instantly.
We do have a colander, dear. No need to be flashy.
It's no big deal.
It isn't until it gets you noticed.
I can't even be myself at home. It's bad enough that I have to be all fake at school.
I simply asked you to lay low.
High school doesn't work like that, Dad. You lay low and you get noticed more than anyone. They have metal detectors for people who lay too low. I have to be someone.
You know, I trust you, Claire. I mean, we got you your own car.
You know, it may be easy for you to pretend that you're the most boring photocopier in the world, but I can't not be what I am. Whatever that is.
Making copies is not my job. Keeping this family safe is my job. And if that means I don't have time to make you breakfast in the morning or I have to dress up in this stupid shirt so that we stay invisible and nobody finds us, then that's what I'll do. And I need you to do the same.
She nods and gives him a peck.
I forgot how weird it must be for you to play normal after being whatever that was.
Don't you feel sorry for your dad compared to the life I had? That was a pretty nice vacation.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Claire leaves the house and gets into her car outside. Sandra picks up a newspaper with the headline, Yamagato CEO dead at age 70.
Did you see this?
Mr. Bennett reads it.
I knew this would happen.
How'd you know this was going to happen? Hey, that's not the way we do things anymore. No more secrets. That was the deal.
This was done by a very gifted artist in New York, Isaac Mendez. Everything he's ever painted has come true. Except for a series of eight. I was only given the first.
There's seven more. What's in the other paintings?
I don't know.
The painting depicts Kaito's dead body.
But I'm gonna find them.
Detective Fuller and Matt pass a police cordon on the rooftop of the Devereaux building.
What, are you waiting on an invitation?
Oh, no. I've just spent so much time on that side of the tape. I was just savoring the moment, that's it.
Yeah, well, welcome to the big leagues, detective. Let's hope you survive.
All right, we got Kaito Nakamura, 70, Japanese national, CEO of Yamagata Industries. Now, he fell out of the sky onto Central Park West. This is his pocket. That look familiar?
No, I've never seen this before.
Well, Mr. Masahashi here is a witness. Says that he saw Mr. Nakamura being pushed by someone who went over with him.
But we've only got one body.
Well, either the killer fell 20 stories, got up and walked away, or flew away. You know somebody can do that?
Someone hands Fuller a piece of paper.
We found a fingerprint on the photo. A match.
Angela Petrelli. We need to bring her right in.
Fuller goes, and Matt turns to Ando.
Mr. Masahashi.
Have you ever seen this symbol before?
Yes. It is a kanji. It means great ability, godsend.
Ability.
It is the crest of Takezo Kensei, a famous hero in Japan. Mr. Nakamura used to read the Kensei stories to his son, Hiro.
I need to talk to him.
So do I.
Otsu, Japan, 1671. Hiro runs along the banks of a small lake and enters a village. He approaches a woman standing in the doorway of a house there. He asks her, "Have you seen a scary white man?" And in reply, she points to where Kensei is sitting at the base of a tree, drunkenly passed out. Soon, Hiro's dunking Kensei's head in a trough of water.
You must be sober. If we don't go after Yaiko right now, she'll be killed.
Who's Yaiko?
The girl you're supposed to fall in love with.
The one who hates me.
Yes, before I came back in time and ruined everything, she was supposed to be your princess and you a hero.
You look like a fish when you talk.
No, I promise. If you do this, they will tell the story for 400 years. Minimum.
Like a giant carp.
Hiro says, I already made a mess of the past. The space-time continuum can't take any more. History needs Takezo Kensei to be a hero today. Hiro looks over to where Kensei's battle armor and mask are lying. Presently, he's wearing them as he gallops on a horse. He says, Ando's never gonna believe this one. Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Claire's in her biology class.
This video demonstrates the newt's amazing ability to regrow a completely working limb. But newts are not the only creatures with this talent. Thanks to millions of years of combined mutation, lizards are capable of cellular regeneration.
You mean like people who can heal themselves?
Not people, Claire, lizards. And raise your hand, please.
But it's possible, right? For people to be able to do that too, I mean, theoretically.
Well, there's a lot of controversial, though promising work with stem cells.
So we might be able to culture whole organs and limbs for people who need them.
I guess the next step for us is phasing out the extra parts. We're not using the appendix anymore or grinding bone with our wisdom teeth. We don't even really need a pinky toe for balance. It's all just junk in our DNA.
I've read that some people might have evolved a different code already. Is that possible?
I'm afraid you are going to need an advanced degree in genetics to get at those answers. And I hope you thank me in your dissertation.
Claire's classmates are looking at her, and she smiles at them before turning to West.
What?
Hartsdale, New York.
Oh, so how'd you like the jet? A lot better than flying coach, huh?
I didn't agree to work with you for the comforts.
Still, it doesn't hurt.
I can't help people with abilities unless I have access to all your records and your labs.
Of course. And right now, I need to get you back on that plane because I have your first assignment here somewhere.
Assignment? I thought you said your company kept its medical samples here.
Not samples. A man. In Port-au-Prince. He turned up sick. Weakness, tremors, loss of abilities. He's dying.
The virus?
Mm-hmm.
If there's another case, there could be some reservoir of infection.
That's what I need you to find out. To date, there have only been two presentations of the disease. Your sister in 1974 and Molly Walker 4 months ago. If there is actually a third case...
Then it is spreading. I'll test him. If it's true, I'll bring him back as soon as possible.
Oh, and doctor, As of now, your blood is the only cure for that virus. Try not to get yourself killed.
A middle-aged woman answers the door to Magia and Alejandro.
Yeah.
Maya says, Nidia, you remember us? And the woman welcomes them with open arms. She says, you are all grown up, but I still see you as children. I remember the day you were born. First Magia, then Alejandro, right behind. I see it is still the same way. Magia, go ahead and rest. Alejandro says, you will help take us across the river to Mexico? We have no money. Nidia replies, I cannot take money. This is no place for young people to make their lives. He says, it's been so long since anyone has been kind to us, Nidia. I've forgotten what it means to trust someone. Nidia responds, others will be coming soon. We have a long night ahead. Come, you must be tired. Alejandro to Magia, you see, we're almost there. She says, it's not right to risk her. We should find a way to cross alone. The police know our faces, says Alejandro. We have to keep going. But what if it happens again, asks Magia. Alejandro reassures her, I won't let it happen. Peter's straining against the ropes that bind his wrists behind his back when a young woman appears in the doorway.
Bet you were prettier yesterday. Like your necklace? What does it mean?
I wish I knew.
Let's try an easier one. What's your name?
I don't know.
It's not your day, is it? I'm Caitlin. You know that much now.
Caitlin?
Mm-hmm.
What are they gonna do to me?
I don't know. Whatever my brother thinks is best.
Your brother? Did he send you in here?
He pitched an epic fit. Thought I'd try a kinder tack. Thing is, this job, it's bigger than you and a couple of quid. They pulled it for this man named McSorley. Promised delivery today.
So what happens if the guy doesn't get what he wants?
You have to remember something. Anything. A name, a face.
The first thing I remember is your brother and his crew finding me. And then the big guy came at me
yeah,
and
then electrical short blew Tuco on his arse. I've heard the story.
The spark. I think it came from me. My hand. I know that it seems...
It's impossible. I've just wrung out a lot of your blood. You don't have a mark on you.
She nods towards a mirror on the wall, and Peter turns to see his unmarked face staring back at him. Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The sprawling city is spread out below as Mohinder briefly enters a hillside shack. He looks around the interior before stepping back out onto a busy market street. He scans the area around him, then knocks on a nearby door. Is anyone here? My name is Mohinder Suresh. I'm a doctor. Seeing a figure lying in bed in the corner of the house, Mohinder approaches. It's the Haitian. Mohinder lays his shoulder bag down and says, there's a possibility you have a very rare virus. That's why I've come. I may be able to help, give you a cure.
I do not want your cure.
Without it, you could die.
God gave me a power. I abused his gift, so he took it away. Now I suffer his judgment.
Then perhaps we should leave it to God to decide. Chances are you carry one of 100 viruses I can do nothing about. If you somehow carry this one virus, there is only one cure. A distillation of my own blood, and I was guided to you. Surely that's a sign. Just the same as your suffering.
A sign of what?
That God isn't quite done with you yet. So, my friend, shall we see if he still offers redemption?
A woman says to Magia, he watches over you. Magia replies, my brother has always been there to protect me from the day we were born.
¿Es alguien que nacimos?
Gemelos.
The woman says twins, and Magia nods. The woman asks, Nidia is helping you to cross too? To which Alejandro replies, my sister is not well. We are going to get her medical help. It must be serious to make such a dangerous journey. Perhaps I can help. I am a healer. Alejandro says, we are going to America to find a real doctor. Let me, please, insists the woman, and she approaches Magia. Don't be afraid. Taking Magia's hand, the woman closes her eyes. It's a new illness, she says. You fear it will spread. You fear yourself. What you carry inside you is black, enough to kill the devil. Looking shocked, the woman lets go of Magia's hand. No one can heal you, she says. You are cursed. The woman backs away fearfully. Nidia appears and says, she's just a little girl, please wait. But the woman responds, no, we will not cross with them. In a woodland clearing, Yeko is defending herself against a group of swordsmen. You don't deserve to call yourself samurai. You feed on suffering. The leader replies, today we will feast on yours. I need your father alive, but I have no need of you. Step away from her, shouts Hiro. Takezo Kensei demands it. And why does he think we'll listen, says the man. Because Takezo Kensei is the greatest swordsman Japan has ever seen. How can you boast such a skill with a sword when you don't have one? I don't need a sword, replies Hiro. I have all of yours. He concentrates, and suddenly all his opponents find themselves empty-handed, their swords stuck in the ground next to Hiro. Men, take up your bows. Hiro laughs and says, I wouldn't do that. Now he's holding all the bows. He says, go now, before I take your clothes next. That's right, go. You could write about this in your history books. The Battle of 12 Swords, that's a good name. Hiro's back on his horse when Yeko says to him, may good fortune always be with you, Takezo Kensei. He replies, if you ride with me, I will consider fortune and I even. Taking his hand, she climbs onto the horse behind Hiro, and they ride away through the trees together. To Caitlin.
Keep an eye on him. If he so much as lays an inconsiderate fart, you grab the gun.
What am I? 12.
Always.
Caitlin gives the man a playful slap, and he leaves. Through the doorway, Peter sees him go, and he strains against his bonds. He rests and relaxes completely, closing his eyes as if in concentration. His wrists suddenly melt right through the ropes, freeing him. Peter lets out a heavy sigh, staring at his hands in disbelief. He rushes to a nearby window, pausing to put on a shirt that's hanging by a wash basin. Caitlin's still next door.
Sorry, fellas. Ricky and the boys just left.
The two men step closer to Caitlin.
Aye, I saw. We're not here for Ricky.
Looky then. I've just tapped a barrel. 2 points.
No, thanks, love. We came for you.
Caitlin knees the man in the groin, but he overcomes her. Peter appears and sends him flying with a blue bolt that flashes from his hand. He uses his power to pull the shotgun from the hands of the second man, who then punches Peter. He punches back, sending the man hurtling into a wall. Peter looks over at the shocked Caitlin. West speaks to Claire as she closes up her locker.
So, lizards, huh?
Tell me you didn't just time that so I'd walk right past you.
I figured you'd be more into whales or something. Unicorns.
You know, you make a lot of assumptions. Is my hair really that blonde?
I think it's cool, actually. I'm sort of into genetics, too.
Well, I didn't say I was into genetics.
You don't have to hide everything interesting about you. Biology's supposed to be our destiny, but people forget. Genes can change.
I thought guys like you were supposed to sit at the back of the classroom and hate everything.
I just found this book. It's by some Indian guy. I can barely even pronounce his name. It's about everything you're talking about. People who've evolved. There's a whole chapter on regeneration.
Sorry, I left all my awesome genetic textbook reading for the summer vacation.
You should see it. I could bring it over. Get you on your way to your PhD.
You know, I don't really care that much. I was just kind of bored in class.
Really?
Yes, but if you like lizards, that's awesome. Have fun, and I gotta go home. Where's my car?
In 17th century Japan, Hiro's helping Yeiko down from the horse. Sorry, back home, my friend Ando usually did the driving. She says, I owe the Master Kensei the greatest of apologies. I thought you had absconded with our money. Hiro replies, me? Never. I promise your father will be rescued. Yeiko says, Takezo Kensei is as honorable as he is brave. Hiro looks up and says, the cherry blossoms are in full bloom. We have met in an auspicious time. Yeiko says, a tree that brings so much beauty yet bears no fruit. Even the deer have come to enjoy them. Hiro says, my father once told me, deer are the messengers of God. If you tell a deer your wish, it can pass on the message. Yeiko says, heaven has already sent me what I most desire, someone to save us all. And bring us hope. Hiro says, you are too kind. Yeiko stares at him, then says, take off your mask. He responds, there are things I could not say to you if you looked on my face. You disarm me. It is no surprise Takezo Kensei's love for you will be the stuff of legend. Will it? She asks, and Hiro nods. Yeiko closes her eyes, offering her lips for a kiss. Hiro uses his power to stop time. He removes his mask and gazes lovingly at Yeiko for a moment. Then his expression gives way to sadness. When Yeiko finally opens her eyes, the pink petals of the cherry blossom are falling gently all around her. She smiles with delight and raises her hands upwards. Realizing that Hiro is no longer there, she looks around for him. Mohinda.
Your blood is clearing the viral load. Seems you have this disease after all. How are your hands?
Steady as faith. I prayed your cure would not work.
I prayed I would have asked the same. And the thought of this virus finding you out here, if it spreads.
So you did not believe what you said about God sending you to cure me?
I have trouble believing in any God that would allow a pathogen like this to exist. It killed my sister. Seems like it's becoming even more virulent. With a replication rate this aggressive, you would have been dead by morning. People I work with will want me to bring you in for observation. I have a plane.
You work for people?
A company.
Of course. There's always a company.
A moment passes, and suddenly Bob is standing where the Haitian was.
Where is he? Where is the Haitian?
The Haitian? Isn't he in Haiti?
We're in Haiti. You've been out of contact for hours.
I was in your office. You gave me an envelope, said a man may have the virus, that I was to cure him.
He wouldn't have been able to take your memory unless the vaccine worked. So, apparently it did. Full recovery. Thank you, Dr. Suresh.
My memory... I'm sorry.
Well, at least we've contained the virus. We'll just chalk this up to a rookie mistake.
Nidia says the police patrol the river, and Magia asks, what if we get caught? Here, they do not catch, they shoot. Once we cross, I'll show you where to go. That tunnel goes under the river. Nidia runs over to a metal grate that covers the tunnel entrance. She unlocks a latch and swings the grate open. Magia leaves Alejandro and runs over to join Nidia. Nidia says, they're coming, police, we must go. Alejandro says, now, Magia, hurry. From inside the tunnel, Magia closes the grate behind her just as a police vehicle stops nearby. She crawls along the tunnel as policemen approach the entrance on foot, their torches piercing the nighttime gloom. Nidia helps Magia out at the other end of the tunnel. A policeman stands scanning the area near where Alejandro's hiding. Magia says, but my brother, we should have stayed together. And Nidia replies, come, this is not the time for tears. Something comes over Magia and she says, no, not again, please God. Her eyes are bleeding as she cries, run, to Nidia, who falls to the ground, clutching her throat. Magia looks from the choking Nidia back to the tunnel. She shouts, Alejandro, please come, I need you. She kneels beside Nidia and looks up at the sky. Alejandro reaches out and touches Magia's shoulder. It's too late, she tells him. Look what I've done. It's all right, Alejandro replies. I'm here. Take my hand. They hold each other's hands tightly.
Duérmete, Magia. Estás en manos antiguas.
They stare into each other's eyes, and a strange energy seems to pass from Magia to Alejandro. He throws his head back, his eyes becoming completely black for a moment, before slowly returning to normal. The blood has vanished from Magia's face, and she hugs him tightly. He says, I told you it would be okay. Nidia sits up and says, she was right. You are evil, both of you. You're cursed. Wait, pleads Alejandro. We don't know where to go. Please, she didn't mean to. Nidia shouts, stay away from me, devil. Stay away. She disappears back into the tunnel. Claire looks nervous as she enters the Copy Kingdom store her dad works at. He's doing some stocking up by the front desk and sees her walking towards him.
Hey. 5-pound bag of gummy bears. Receptionists love them. Well, stocked candy dish makes them feel popular.
She looks up at him.
Dad, if I told you something, will you promise not to freak out? My car kind of got stolen.
Oh my God, Claire. My heart just about stopped.
I know. It's a stolen car when you're running for your life. Not that... Look, I loved the car, and if you ever got me another one, I promise I will never leave it unlocked ever again.
You left it unlocked. Claire.
I have to be able to trust you, and not just with the car, with everything.
No, I made a mistake.
Can't afford mistakes.
Because we're in hiding and it's dangerous.
That's right.
Oh, great. I'm in hiding because of something I can do, and I don't even know what that is. But I don't even know how it works or what my limits are. I mean, if I cut off my arm, would it reattach itself, or would I grow a new one?
We shouldn't be discussing this.
You're the only one I could talk to about this. I mean, I could be missing my opportunity to help people. If my skin can grow back after I boil it in with the eggs, then maybe my blood can help someone who got burned or someone who's sick. I don't even know if I can get sick.
That's enough, Claire.
Look, you can yell at me all you want about the car, but this is what I am.
I have kept you out of danger your whole life so you wouldn't have to find your limits. Because if they find you, that's what they'll do. They'll cut you. They'll test you. They will push you so far past your capacity for pain that you'll wish you could die. Believe me. You may feel confined here, but this is far freer a cage than the one they'd put you in. I've got to get back to work.
You and Nakamura. Witness said you had a fight yesterday.
We were old friends. Sometimes simple conversations can be misconstrued.
He said you slapped him.
He made an offhand comment about my son's death. I found it distasteful.
You're a major shareholder in Yamagata Industries. That stock's been in the toilet for months now.
You think I killed Kaito over money?
Most common motives are money and sex.
Well, I don't need the money, and I wasn't sleeping with him. Not for a long time.
You recognize that symbol?
Yes, it's the logo of my husband's law firm.
Why draw it across Nakamura's face?
I don't know. Because we did something terrible, and now someone wants revenge.
Would anyone want revenge? On him, maybe. On you.
Who said anything about revenge?
How about my lawyer now?
Who wants revenge, Mrs. Petrelli?
Stand down, Parkman. She cried uncle.
Get out of my head!
Later, Matt spots Nathan.
Mrs. Petrelli.
I know you.
Detective Matt Parkman. We met in Texas when you came in to lawyer your brother out of jail. Look, I'm sorry about Peter. Follow me, I'll show you another.
She's not gonna want to see me. Look, I just came to get her out.
Then why'd she ask us to call you?
She doesn't have anyone else.
The lights flicker.
Where is she?
The interview room's locked.
That's not possible.
They rush into an adjoining room.
Stand back!
Matt breaks the glass window that divides them, and Nathan rushes through to comfort his cowering mother.
It's gonna be all right, Mom. It's gonna be okay.
Who did this to you, Mrs. Petrelli?
Her face has several cuts. Matt takes a photograph from her. It's a picture of Angela with the helix symbol scrawled across it.
Aren't you gonna say anything?
About what?
About those things you did.
I didn't do anything.
Make up a story. Tell me you lost your memory of tonight, too. But don't pretend I'm stupid.
You had to knock the piss out, didn't you? The fella you put through a wall was McSorley's son. A sadistic bastard, but his old man loves him. And you just made him even uglier.
Fine, next time I'll leave him alone with your sister.
Don't you mouth off to me. You turned a fixable monetary problem into a blood feud.
Ricky.
You're gonna make this right. We'll do another job. Something big enough we can drop a fat stack on his desk. Get him off our backs.
I'm not a thief.
Maybe not. But you certainly handled those two like a pro. And that makes you something. Now, doesn't it?
What's to say I don't do the same thing to you and walk out of here?
I thought common courtesy would do it. No. Then maybe this. You might want this. Peter.
Ricky's holding a small box.
My name's Peter.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? Just something I read. This here's everything you had on you when we found you. Credit cards. Maybe a train ticket. Could even be a love letter. It's all yours. You just have to help us with one little job. What do you say, Peter? Peter.
Pincer? Mr. Pincer?
You stole my armor and left me with all. Who do you think you are?
I only did it to save Yaiko. And to show that Takezo Kensei is not a drunk, but a hero. And I did.
You did?
Yes. They're already telling of your bravery.
And what exactly did I do on this day?
You disarmed 11 men and rescued a beautiful girl.
I'm to believe you did all that and took no credit.
Kensei-sama!
Yaiko enters and says, Master Kensei, I found you. You left without taking what is rightfully yours. May my father's blade do justice to your skill. Kensei accepts the weapon from Yaiko and she rushes away, saying, come now, there is no time to lose. He asks her, where are you rushing to? And Hiro says, as you said, we must rescue her father. Yaiko adds, we have far to travel. Meet me at the stables.
All right, Carp, I'm in.
Really?
I don't know what brand of fool you truly are, but it appears listening to you will grant me more reward and more of her.
It will.
You can make me the hero she sees in me.
As long as you stop drinking.
No promises.
Hiro says, I can work with that. Outside, the samurai appear and their leader says, I meet the great Takezo Kensei again. He signals his men to use their bows and three arrows hit Kensei in quick succession. He falls to the ground. The horrified Hiro shouts, how can this happen? He pulls one of the arrows from Kensei's chest.
Sorry, Cap. Maybe I'll be a hero next time.
No! You cannot die!
But it's too late. Kensei exhales his last breath and closes his eyes. Hiro looks down at him in disbelief. Suddenly, he sees the puncture wound in Kensei's chest healing itself, and a moment later, Kensei opens his eyes again. Amazed and delighted, Hiro says, Godsend. Matt's asleep in a chair. On his lap is a notebook covered in a series of doodles of the helix symbol. Molly's asleep in a nearby bed. Mahinda comes into the apartment and takes in the scene as he drops his shoulder bag to the floor. He leans over Molly and tucks her in, gazing closely at her face. He then removes his mobile from his pocket and takes a call from Mr. Bennett.
You're working late.
Night shift, don't ask. Was it a productive trip?
You should have the answer to that yourself very shortly.
And you didn't arouse any suspicions?
I don't think so. Bob seemed more angry at himself for trusting the bungling professor. They'll be watching me more closely now.
That's to be expected. Don't worry. I'll find the other paintings myself.
Are you sure?
You've given me everything I need.
Mahinda hangs up. Mr. Bennett does the same.
Welcome to Copy Kingdom. How can I help you?
He shakes hands with the Haitian.
When I checked your pedigree, she ended up having 17 kids.
Sandra sees Claire watching a dog show on TV with Mr. Muggles.
Turn that off? That is salt in the wound for poor Mr. Muggles.
I'm sorry. That was very inconsiderate of me. You're right. Doesn't help to avoid it.
Claire turns the TV back on and picks up a book illustrated with pictures of lizards.
Well, guess it's just you and me.
A thought occurs to her. She stares down at her bare toes. She's recently painted her toenails and her feet are resting on a towel. Claire's eyes glance over at a nearby pair of heavy scissors. She picks the scissors up and readies herself to cut off a little toe. Gritting her teeth, she snips, sending the toe arcing through the air. As she watches, The bloody stump extends and the toe reconstructs itself in a matter of seconds.
No way.
She looks up to see West looking at her through the window. He seems shocked and runs off. Claire rushes outside after him, but he's gone. Lying on the driveway is the book on genetics he was talking about. She picks it up, looking down at it, then at Mr. Muggles. The dog's very agitated, barking and jumping by her feet. To be continued.